Couldn't handle it. Then he breathes on the disciples. All of a sudden, this domino of activity begins to happen. Multiple explosions, one after another, begin to happen as the power begins to pull for the church of God to be born, to be built up. He breathes on the disciples. Whoa, what would that have been like? Then they go sit in the upper room, and he said, I want you to hang out in Jerusalem. Hang out there till Pentecost. Don't leave there, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I go round and round in my mind when I see that picture of these disciples and their followers, 120 waiting, praying, not knowing what to do in their own spinning world. And suddenly there is a sound of a mighty rushing wind. Not Russian, rushing. Rushing wind! Well, I don't hear any rushing wind, Pilgrim. No, I don't either. But what if you did? Well, I have lived this long and I haven't heard anything. Where were you on the morning of 9/11? When your world was just going fine and all of a sudden somebody said, turn on the TV! And you turned on never believing that you would see what you saw. I don't know about you, but I was absolutely blown away. What does it take to shake us up? What does it take to wake us up? Do you have to be? Do I have to be severed, destroyed, flooded over before I will wake up, before we will wake up? What does it take? I couldn't believe. Not only does the rushing wind start to blow, but if that's not bad enough, fire or something like fire is above the heads of the people. Well, I haven't seen any fire.
I haven't either.
But I've had God work me over something pretty in my few years, bless you, of life. Have you not been worked over by God ever? David's hand goes quick up. You good. You think God doesn't know how to work you over? To get your attention, to straighten you up, to peel away all of the red, gooey, icky, red stuff and reveal just what we are and what we need. We don't need more red stuff. We need to get back in the vine as he is in the vine. And have the character of Christ develop us so we don't have to pretend. We just walk around praising God at his wonderful grace to our lives. And the rushing wind comes and they begin to speak in other tongues. I don't know. Some of the disciples had already received the breath of God. Others maybe didn't. I don't know what happened in that time. I know this, that they spoke in other tongues and others understood it. Outside. That much I know. You don't have to be silly to be supernatural. I know they're waiting for me out here on the road. You don't have to bark like a dog and roar like a lion and do a stupid chicken walk and do all these other stupid things believing that that is the way to draw in the Spirit of God. How you did it this morning is how it should be done. You worship the name of Jesus, amen? You praise the name of Jesus, he shows up. And I don't care who says otherwise. When you go into contortions, instead of him showing up more, he leaves. You're left with contortions. That which is not of God. You're left with the red, icky stuff. When the Spirit of God comes, what did he say, I'm going to do? I'm going to give you power that you might what? Be my witnesses. breath of God came. I do have Pentecostal background, and I am a little bit of everything, so I don't discount that. But I want to say, any contact you have with the Spirit of the living God, I don't care what it is, you're lucky to be alive afterwards. He is a lightning force. When he chooses to prove that to you, he shall. And you will know that he's doing it. And as we said last week and where we left Peter, not Peter. Of all the people to stand up and answer those outside laughing, they're drunk. Let it not be Peter. You may think that Peter had his own share of dying the night that the Lord died. Peter denied the Lord 3 times, as we know. But we don't know what else happened that night. I personally believe Peter just died himself. Now, sitting in a group of people where they had just experienced something supernatural, Peter is sitting there saying, I just wonder. And now they're yelling through the window. They're all drunk in there, and nobody else is moving. Unprepared, unclean probably, fishy smell, uneducated. Probably even unwelcome in that bunch. They didn't want Peter around. They knew he was the one who would. Why in the world did God choose the guy that was the seemingly the worst off? Peter sits there. You know why? Because he was a lot of these uns, but he was also one other un that I would give to you today before we come. Help me out, Renee, and otherwise, stop. Oops, somebody's calling me. If they're from up on the highway, I'm not here. Because Peter was unafraid. He was all of these things, but he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid of his own disciples. He wasn't afraid of the people outside. He was so affected by what had happened to him the night of betrayal. He didn't care what anybody thought, said, or did to him. He had already died. And he stands up. This is the birth of the church. The birth of the bridge over troubled water. This is the lighting of the candle. This humiliated man stands up and goes someplace to the doorway. Says, it's only 9 a.m. We're not drunk. What happened to that Spirit of the living God that was lighting fires over all their heads, remember? Well, he was just around the corner. And when Peter stood up in pure obedience, not knowing what was coming next, the fire of God was over Peter's head. Because he obeyed, he stood up there and said, well, he said, can I just tell something to you? This is what the prophet Joel, he began to speak. This unlearned, unwashed, unprepared, unwanted, but unfearful fellow stands up. This Holy Spirit that we're not sure about, I'll tell you, he was there whether they saw him or not. And he begins to preach. He says, this Jesus who came and did all of these things for you and healed you and touched you and represented the God the Father, this Jesus you nailed to the cross and you killed. You spread his blood. They didn't know what they were doing. That's why Jesus said, Father, hold this not against them. And Peter stood up and delivered. And that's the message to the church of Jesus Christ. Stand and deliver. If you're bored, it's not God's fault. God's not boring. If you're tired and don't have time for God, well, I like this song. Whatever we were singing, Emily, it changes the way you see and changes what you seek.
We seek all day long for more and more red gooey stuff. When God would have us seek his face. When God would have us be satisfied with his presence alone. We settle for tinsel. Peter stood and delivered. Finally, somebody says, Peter, enough! Enough, Peter! Shut the heck up! What can we do about this? Says, well, I'll tell you what you do about it. You repent and you be baptized in Jesus' name. And they said, we'll do it! And exploded on the scene comes the church of Jesus Christ. 3,000 in a moment. We're headed to the bank. Oh, not the prosperity bank. They're headed to the bank of the River Jordan. That they might plunge beneath that fountain and lose all their guilty stains. Would that excite us? Well, it would excite me. Oh, I see a mob of 3,000 people pushing and shoving to be baptized. And I won't read it because I got to stop. It's the way I make sure I stop. The Bible continues to say, after that, they were so excited. They gathered together and prayed daily and shared daily, ate daily, took turns vacuuming the church, stuff. But the Bible says they were in awe. A-W-E. They were in awe of what was happening. The word awe is defined as reverential respect, wonder, and fear. God, bang us, break us, bewilder us. But bring us to a point where we once again live in awe of our supernatural God. Of what he can do at any moment in your life if he chooses. Philip's running along. Philip sends him someplace. He takes Enoch. He can take you and put you anywhere. When I was a kid, last story. We had preachers like me come to church. When they'd rattle on like I did this morning, and then they'd say, young people, give your life to God. And I would sit there and say, why do they always talk to young people? The whole church, it's not our fault, it's their fault that we're so whatever we were. Why do they always say, and after they make this big speech, say it to you? Because the young people are the easiest, the quickest to receive. But that's no excuse. That's no reason for we who aren't so young. I don't care this morning how old you are. I don't care where you are, how old you are, whatever. As a matter of fact, what I believe is that the life in the church begins with leadership and works its way down. We should not depend on children to work its way up to us. Anybody hears the voice of God and he asks you to go and do and be. The Bible says if you don't lose your life, you won't find it. You won't find what you're looking for if you're not willing to lose it. And the word to we, non-youth, is open our hearts. Bring me to that place where I live in awe of you. Where I anticipate coming to the house of God. I anticipate good things happening because Jesus is there. He is the bridge. The church is
the bridge over troubled waters for this world. Jesus said, I am the light. He didn't say that because it was kind of dim in town. It's dark. Without God, it's dark. I don't care what humanism does, says, or whatever. Without Jesus, it is totally dark. We are the light of the world. Jesus said, go into all the world, teaching them to observe what I've shared with you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Can God speak to people out in Belt, Montana? At any age? And say, I want you to go give your life? Can God speak to people in Belt's community church? At any age? And put his finger on your life and say, I want you to give your life. What about my second home? What about the strange thing? If God speaks to you, and he is this morning, whatever he's taken away from you, it can't compare with what he puts in your heart. You will walk in joy in the Shekinah knowledge that he is within you. And all the tinsel that we can pile up means nothing. When God speaks to you, well, how do I know when God's? You'll know. Well, I'm not so sure. If God wants you to do something, he'll make you miserable until you do it. Amen? I was always looking for warmer. Remember that deal? Warmer, warmer, colder, colder. That God can make you miserable if you do not respond to his voice. God, he loves you. But he also calls you. Do you sense his spirit this morning in this place? Now that's the song. Do you know this song? Something about that name. I don't know if Don, if we have it, or if I can just sing it, or join with me if you can. Starts out Jesus, I think. Jesus. 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 There's just something about that name. Master, Savior. Master, Savior. Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. One more time. Stand with me before we leave. Stand with me. Let's sing it one more time. Unto him this morning, Jesus, Jesus, thank you. We thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for your presence. What a terrible